Hi there and welcome to this video presentation where I'm talking about a very interesting subject. I'm talking about spirituality and how that fits in with us being these natural superhumans. I'm filming this at Chandi Dasar up on the east coast of Bali, and I thought for a conversation about spirituality, I'll put myself right in the middle of this beautiful thing called Mother Nature. You're likely to hear the sound of the ocean in the background. An interesting thing with the topic of spirituality is I set out a little over 10 years ago, I was going to write 5 books in 10 years, and it was going to be the guidebook series. So first book was Guidebook to Happiness, Guidebook to Optimum Health, Guidebook to Authentic Success, and my original plan was a book on amazing relationships, Guidebook to Amazing Relationships, and the 5th book was going to be on spirituality. So spirituality in a modern world and in a modern context, and because I'm all about practicality, how can my spirituality, my spiritual practice help me be the most awesome I can be and do the most awesome stuff and leave the most awesome legacy? So that's sort of, you know, the practical piece of the spirituality thing. So I'm going to just riff on this subject for a while, and this is a conversation, food for thought. I might give some specific suggestions that have been particularly impactful for myself and in my own life. So there'll be a bit of that, but this is just opening up the conversation. And this is a conversation from a dude, used to be in the army for, you know, almost 15 years, consulting to Olympic Games, specializing in bomb management, very much in the security space. And when we were consulting to Olympic Games and putting our bids together for our services, our consulting services, we'd show these horrific pictures of people getting blown up and scaring the bejesus out of the organized committee in order to convince them that they needed to bring us in to remove the fear of someone or something or some organization or some terrorist messing with the games and causing untold damage and harm to not only the physical thing but the reputation, all of that sort of stuff. So that's where I came from when I was in the military, definitely an atheist. I didn't like going along to the military religious services and all that sort of stuff. When I was growing up, got taken along to Sunday school for a number of years, and then my parents offered the choice: you can either go to Sunday school or you can mow the lawn. And we had a fairly big lawn, so it was a several hours job mowing the lawn, and I'd often take mowing the lawn over going to this Sunday school because it didn't quite resonate for me. So that's my sort of, you know, background. But as I've gone on my journey, and I talked about transition point for me around 1999 when I did the Tony Robbins work and I started introducing yoga into my life. I changed my diet around, went more vegetarian, stopped getting drunk, that sort of things. As I sort of steered myself down that path, and certainly as you go down the yogic path, and I also was doing a lot of reading into Eastern philosophies and that sort of stuff. So as I steered down that path, I had a more comfortable relationship with this thing called God. I remember traveling through South America in 2001, and I found a book by Deepak Chopra at the time. Can't remember the specific title, but it introduced the G word, the God word, and it was the first time I was sort of quite comfortable with the use of that word without sort of cringing or, you know, trying to run away from it. I remember doing a Tony Robbins seminar, I think it was in the year 2000, and he would talk the God word, and you know, I'd get a little bit cringy. But in this 2001, as I'm traveling and for a series of months through South America and just, you know, getting up into Machu Picchu and seeing Tikal ruins and Colca Canyon, like these amazing things, and you know you're having this experience. So my heart had opened up. I had got away from the institution by that stage. I'd made the decision that I was resigning for the military. So I started to sort of open myself up and open my mind up to a different conversation about who and what I was, who and what I believed in. And I remembered doing the Machu Picchu and doing the Inca Trail. And on the Inca Trail, there was this amazing guy who was talking about, you know, as we were sitting there under the stars, he was talking about ancient civilizations. And, you know, he was just a treasure chest of history, you know, both near history and ancient history, is astrological and all of that sort of stuff, you know, started opening me up to a different idea about this thing called spirituality. And what I realize is for myself, and this has been my coaching experience for the last 10 plus years, a lot of us got seriously messed up in our spirituality by religious dogmas. And some of us got a little bit messed up, and some people have got seriously messed up. And I've worked with clients that have some shocking limiting beliefs as a result of religious dogma. Dogma along the lines of, you know, you are a sinner and you need to repent and make up for it. And if you do this, you're going to heaven. And if you do this, you're going to hell. All of that stuff, untangling it. As I've become more evolved with my experience around spirituality, and also as I've delved deeper into, you know, neuroscience, but also deeper than that is the quantum physics side of things, following the teachings of Dr. Joe Dispenza, reading the work of Dr. David Hawkins, and numerous other spiritual texts, whether they're books like The Seed of the Soul, An Untethered Soul, Conversations with God, all sorts of stuff, texts by Paramahansa Yogananda. So lots of different things have opened up this different conversation and allowed me to create my own spiritual belief, my own spiritual relationship on that thing that's bigger than me. Now, we can call it God, we can call it Allah, we can call it Source, we can call it Life, we can call it Mother Nature, we can call it the universe, we can call it the great unknown, the mystery, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what verbiage we use to describe it. For me, what it is the thing bigger than me, the unseen, the unknown, the mystery that is. And I've had specific experiences where I've bumped up against it. This thing bigger than me that I don't understand and is a bit unknown, but also has a direct relationship experience with me. So it's not just something out there. There's been an experience between me and this unified quantum field, as the quantum physicists might call it. And the quantum physicists acknowledge that there's not empty space out there. This space, this ether that exists, you know, the space even between me and the ocean over there, there's within that space, there's something. And in that something, there would be information. There would be energy. And for me, there's intelligence, like there's an intelligence within that space that organizes stuff, that organizes frequency, vibration into form. And again, the quantum physicists would agree with that concept. There's this intelligence, this self-organizing nature. Now, for me, I go one step deeper as well than the purely quantum physics and call it a loving, intelligent information, which I have a direct relationship with. And I've created a spiritual practice and experience, whether that's through my meditation practices, my breathing pranayama practices, but a relationship with me and this unknown, me and this God, me and this source, me and this mystery, which doesn't have a middle player. I don't need to go through a third party to have this relationship with life. I've also had the direct experience, and I've seen it within a number of my clients, where I'm more aligned with this thing I'm calling Source or God. And in the alignment of that, I'm able to manifest things so much more quickly and more easily. What I mean by that is I might be sitting there in meditation, feeling connected to God and Source, and within that space of deep calm, I have this internal guidance system that allows me to be more aligned with my intuition and my conscience to understand what is right and what is not right for me, and I can have that experience there. But I can also ask up things to the universe. And it might even be something like, I just allow myself to say thank you for the fact that I'm now ready to receive a particular client that sort of seems like this, that's working through this particular place, that wants to, you know, take their business to the next level or them to the next level. And I put that intention out into the great mystery, into that information pool of soup. I'm to say, now I'm ready to receive. I'm open to receive, and I'm grateful to receive and be able to do the work that I love to do. So that's my practical relationship with this thing called spirit and spirituality. And certainly, you know, I'm a big one on beliefs and, you know, processing our limiting and disempowering beliefs. It's extremely important for us to look at whether we have any strong limiting disempowering beliefs as a result of any religious dogma that we may have been introduced to, whether it's by our parents, our family, by the institutions, religious institutions we may have attended, or religious texts we may have been forced to read at some particular point in our life. And when I look at becoming a natural superhuman, I want to tap into all resources. I want to tap into everything that there is possible within myself. All that I need is within me now. I've got all of that. I show up as this different person. We're going to talk about the leader, the warrior, the sage. But I want to tap into something bigger than that as well. So I tap into Mother Nature, and I tap into something even bigger than that, this universe. And I tap into the energy of that, and, you know, this stream of energy. And part of being a superhuman is, I don't want to be swimming against the current. I want to be swimming with the current. And I know when I'm in alignment with life, when I'm in alignment with, say, my dharmic path, my purpose in life, when I'm doing what I was put on this planet here to do, that makes me in alignment with this greater thing called life, this energy of life, which is always helping me to learn and grow, which is always trying to cause the best of me to come forward, which has given me life experiences and putting circumstances and even obstacles and challenges in my way to bring out the best of me. That's this loving intelligence that only wants the best for me, and that best for me is the fullest and most complete evolution of myself. Now, one of the other presentations I talk about is consciousness. And obviously there's a relationship between the consciousness of self and this greater consciousness of universe, this loving, intelligent universe. And part of getting the most out of that relationship is I work on elevating my own level of consciousness to the highest point I can, which allows me to connect more fully, more completely, more powerfully with this consciousness of the great unknown, the consciousness of the universe, this loving, intelligent consciousness of this bigger thing. That it's difficult to explain, but my thing and the practical part of me says, I want to create a relationship with life where it has the greatest ability to impact me, those around me, and the greater good, and that allows me to be the most awesome human being I can be, the most consciously aware, the most creative, the most abundant, and all of that sort of stuff. So I use all of my tools. I use all of life, all that life has to offer. So I hope that, has been an interesting conversation for you. You know, feel free to add to the conversation in the comments down below and talk about, you know, what resonated for you out of this conversation. Even talk about, you know, where you stand right now as far as, you know, what your beliefs, principal beliefs are and principal practices are around this thing called spirituality. But it's about using that in a way and framing it in a way that it sort of elevates us rather than some sort of religious dogma that makes us feel scared and want to, you know, self-flagellate, you know, if we do something wrong and forever be fearful of making sin. My final point and my final belief on spirit and spirituality and my relationship with it is I believe in a loving God who loves unconditionally. Now, unconditionally means unconditionally, without conditions. There are no conditions. I can be an awesome person and be loved by life and by God. I can be a douchebag and do douchebaggy things and still be loved by life. It's up to me to work on my consciousness, to be the best person I can be, to learn from my mistakes, to do the best I can do, to catch myself out when I do things, you know, wrong that don't feel right for me. So I'm loved by, you know, my interpretation of God, regardless of what I do. It comes down to me personally needing to do the work on myself to show up as the best human being. But, you know, as I'm on that journey to becoming the best human being I can be, God loves me along the way. I'm not being judged and I'm not being loved any less whether I'm being great or whether I'm being semi-good or whether I'm being average or whether I'm being hopeless or whether I offend people or whatever it is. I'm still loved. The real work is up to me. So there you go. Final comments, and leave your final comments down below and let's keep this conversation going. Otherwise, have an absolutely fantastic day wherever you are on this beautiful, incredible, gorgeous planet of ours. All the very best and take care.